Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We're glad you're with us. And tonight we are going to be taking calls, and the number is 323-203-0815. We've just completed for May our Monday and Wednesday night show, but you're going to look forward to that for June, and you can find out more information about that at www.drpatallen.com. And we don't have Susie with us tonight, so I'm sure if you're looking for classes, you can go to www.wanticestore.com and find out things there. If you're not signed up for the newsletter, you can sign up at drpatallen.com. And since we don't have Susie here, I do want to say thank you to the One Institute for bringing us to you each and every week. Dr. Allen.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Very good.
How has your week been?
My week has been fine. I'm just enjoying my life, basically, on all levels. It's working quite well. I'm working more, I'm working less, actually, and therefore I'm getting to do things like I'm taking a class at Irvine Valley College on movies because a dear client, Sam Upton, created a movie about the Fisher King wound, but from a male point of view. It's a boxing movie, and it just got best show at the Beverly Hills Film Festival, and he got voted the best director. Now,
wow.
That's not bad for a man who's a physical trainer and does movies as a new creation in his life. So he gives me and my ASR work credit for helping him do something that very few people do.
That's wonderful. How exciting.
And it was
we've got a call.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hello there. What can I do for you?
So a man has been dating me for 10 months.
Yay, that's almost a year.
I discovered your work only a month ago, and I read your book, Getting to I Do. He has been unwilling to commit before I read your book. Then I recently, like 2 weeks ago, told him that I wouldn't be having intercourse outside of monogamy. And he completely avoided what I said. And now he's texting and just saying, like, hi, how are you? And then just yesterday said, I feel you're over this, ? And then I said, I feel confused by this question. And then I just said, I'm not over it. So I don't know what to do next.
Well, what he's doing is, he is frightening you with the loss of him. I call it bait and switch. You get strokes, and then all of a sudden they pull away. But when they're doing that, what they're saying is, I want you to be so bonded to me already, which is quite accurate very often, that you will come after me, and I won't have to work or do anything. So we'll see. He's got 8 weeks, and that's not the Pat Allen 8 weeks. That is 8 weeks that is the scientific rumination need for the nervous system to make a decision. So I discovered it in the 60s with Maxwell Maltz's book, Psycho-Cybernetics, and I've been studying it through my CEU training classes that I have to do for my licenses and certifications. And it seems to be a real human characteristic. Give him 8 weeks to miss you enough to call you.
Okay. I've been upset that he avoided what I said, but I stayed passive and I gave him the space. And so I want to say something else, but I know that I should just be quiet. Is that correct?
Passive, patient, and vulnerable to his leadership is feminine. Compete, conquer, and control is masculine. We're all both. We're all both. They have their power in their bodies. We have our power in our souls. That's why I wrote the book, It's a Man's World and Woman's Universe. It's been out. It's out for a couple of weeks now. And it's about...
I just got it online.
Oh, very good. Very good. Anyway, it's about the Fisher King wound, the mythology of what it takes to become a man and what it means to be a lady. So what you're doing is being a virtuous woman, and men would rather we didn't do that because they don't get laid as often as when women think that it's okay to give away free intercourse. I call it free wife, because what most women don't know is when you're premenopausal, you bond to those darling bodies. And what happens is it's like an addiction to oxytocin. And that can be really a two-year painful pledge of bad decision. So you're doing what I think and what science thinks is appropriate. Let's see. If he calls you in 4 weeks, he loves you. If he doesn't call you for 6 weeks, he doesn't want to love you. You cost too much emotionally and spiritually. If he doesn't
What if he calls before the 8 weeks and just wants to go out on a date and
No, please do not interview him. I want him to interview you. You see?
When
a man interviews us, he's considering us as wife material or mate material. When we interview him, he feels like a little boy with a mother. That's the Fisher King wound. A man's job is to get away from mothering women, and a woman's job is to attract father figures, even though they're not father, who basically cherish our feelings enough to take care of us.
Okay.
Are you looking for a husband or a mate?
A husband.
Okay. I have no problem with mate. They're monogamous, continuous, and long-term. They just don't have a legal document.
Right.
But without a legal document, see, marriage is for women and kids. It's not for men. When men marry, they take on responsibility. When women marry, they give up so much independence that women's lib, in some cases, has talked women into thinking that's being a doormat. It's not being a doormat. It's you're taking care of your virtue. Men marry virtue. They do not marry vaginas. They use them, they enjoy them, but they don't marry them.
Okay.
You see? Yeah. So have I said anything that confirms what you're doing?
Yes, absolutely. You helped.
Let's see what he does.
I will call and let you know.
Good girl. Good girl.
Thank you, caller.
Thanks, Dr. Pat.
The group. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
Well, that is... was a really great question. That is a good, I just had a gal talk to me the other day about something very much like that. You know?
The what?
She had not found your work until recently, and she was had been with a man for about eight. Oh, hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you guys?
Hi, Seattle.
What can I do for you?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say I'm reading your book. It's A Man's World, but a Woman's Universe. I'm loving it. It's really great. And so, as far as I remember, weren't you going to have a cover where you look like a nun and then would flip a page and you'd look like a prostitute? I was really looking forward to that, actually.
That is actually going to be her autobiography.
Oh, okay. Oh, got confused. Okay, got it. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
We had an
artist who got to read an advanced copy, actually do that based on the title. That artist, Fran Estevio Comstock, did that artwork for the cover of the new book, Dr. Allen's wonderful book.
It's very beautiful. I really like it. So here's my question. This man that that's dating me has two incredibly annoying female friends. They're obnoxious, they're all over him, they're loud. It actually got to a point where I told him, I said, look, you know, you have the right to have as many female friends as you like and do whatever you want, but I feel pretty uncomfortable with them around because they're wildly invasive and they're just so obnoxious and loud, you can't... Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, bummer. Uh-huh. So what are your thoughts on that? How should I approach the situation?
Should say to the kids or to him?
They're not kids, Dr. Allen. They're females in the same age range as caller. Is that correct, caller?
Oh.
True, yes. Yeah. So he's 35.
Oh, I thought you said they were female boys.
I got the message,
they were female boys, but they're female.
Sorry.
And
female,
what are
female
they doing?
Well,
are you going on a quadruple date? What is it you're doing with them?
Actually, me and him went on to this concert, and he had rented a room beforehand, and then she just showed up. We rented a room, then we went to get dinner, and then she showed up, and he said, oh, I'm so sorry, but, you know, I bought everyone tickets way before I even met you, and this was months ago. And I said, okay, that's no problem. So, but then she said something like, if I get too drunk at the concert, I'll crash with you guys, and, you know, that's nuts. And he asked me if that was okay, and I said, it's up to you. And he's like, oh, it sounds like a test. I'm like, no, just, you know, it's up to you.
Wait a minute. You said yes, that was okay?
Oh, no. I said, it's up to you. He asked me if I was okay with it. And I just decided.
He asked for your input. For what reason did you not tell him what you felt?
I thought I was being passive and patient. Should I have just told him that?
He asked you for what you felt. He said, is that okay with you? That's a feeling question.
Oh, I see. Well, she didn't end up staying, so it was fine. Apparently he told her no.
I want to let you know that when a man cherishes your feelings, he'll ask you if what he's thinking of doing is okay, or you feel good, or you feel bad. So be sure you give him the right information, the truth.
Oh, okay. So then it would be perfectly normal.
What?
It would be okay for me to say, no, I don't want her here. That's uncomfortable.
No. Here's what you would have said. You would have said, you have every right to want them to be here, but you've asked me how I feel about it, and I'm not comfortable.
Okay.
But do what you think is right for you.
Okay, and so this is really driving me crazy. Sorry, let me move a little bit. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, perfect. So if, let's say, because I last time we talked about it, I told him, you know, basically almost what you just said, like, you have every right to hang out with whomever you like, but I would like it that they're not the same, because sometimes, you know, he'll have these get-togethers and they're there, and I absolutely can't stand them because they're just
I understand that, but you did give him your feeling response.
Mm-hmm.
There are four characteristics in poor communication. One is evasiveness. Someday I'll do this, marry you. Second is, if you love me, you'd know what I want and what I feel. Third is condescending. Well, I really. And the fourth is abrupt. No. Yes. Do it. I don't care. You see? So he asked how you felt. You know, do you care about this, them coming with us? And that would have been, it's not my favorite thing, but if it's something you want, I will respect it.
Okay. This pretty much answers my question. So then what if, I'm sorry?
Yeah. Go ahead.
What if, let's say, he now knows that I'm not a fan of them, and then what if we end up at the same party anyway? So what should I do?
A party is a group of human beings. Would you ask to leave a party in which they are simply members of a group?
No.
The other thing sounded like a personal event.
Yeah, yes, that was personal event. But the problem is that they're one of them likes him for sure, so obviously she's not happy about me. And
there are lots of ball women out there who will want to steal your boyfriend.
That's true. So ignore her and then tell him what you told me to tell him, right?
Only if he asks you.
Okay.
Why would you tell him, you know, I don't like being here with her here? That means you want him to take you home. Is that really what you want?
No, not really. I would want her gone.
No, you see, what you're asking is for him to do your bidding. If you don't like something and it's him, tell him. But she's a guest of somebody else in a house where there's a group of people. She has as much right to be there as you do.
Very true. But what if she becomes, again, you know, she's all over him and she's, you know, we're having a conversation and she comes over and starts talking. It's just so obnoxious. How should I respond to that? If I should even respond.
What you're saying is you want to go to him while he's talking to her and pull him away. Is that correct?
No. Let's say if it's me and him and we're having a conversation, because this happened once, and we're having a conversation and she comes over and she interrupts, and I almost lost it. It was just like my last straw for the evening. And I said, look, can't you see we're having a conversation? And then this...
No, that's fighting. That's fighting. What you would say to her as she comes up, I appreciate your wanting to talk with him, but we're having a conversation. So I'll be finished in a little time, and then if you and he want to talk, fine.
Okay.
See, men love mud wrestling matches with women, right?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Well, they like watching women fight over them, too.
Oh, I'm not going to give them that pleasure.
Yeah, what was that? What was that in that movie?
Watch. The two
Saucer of milk, table two, definitely. I would elevate and rise above it. Would definitely not engage in a fighting sort of situation. Would you, Dr. Allen?
Mm-hmm. Right. And that I appreciate you want to talk to, and whatever his name is, but we'll be done in just a minute. And if you need to, you'll have him right there.
Mm-hmm.
Always make people right for what they're doing wrong. Do you know the reason? Because by giving them a stroke, you deflate their competitive, conquering, controlling nature. You've given them a stroke. We all need strokes, whether it's pain or pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, do it. But if it's less than that, make them right. You have a right to say that, think that. You have a right to want to talk to him. You have a right to do this or that. I will step aside while you're doing it, or you can wait for us to finish and then come forward. It's called negotiating. Win-win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I was also wondering, maybe he's doing this on purpose to completely drive me crazy because he likes crazy girls. The last one tried to kill him. Maybe I'm too normal for him now.
I want you to understand, people have a right to be dingy, and you have a responsibility to not fall into their trap.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You see? So you
there's
think
only
he's...
Three ways. There's only three ways to communicate. One is negotiating, which is win-win. The second one is intimidation. I win, you lose. And seduction with guilt, which is I lost and you hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather you negotiate it.
Me too. Yeah.
So, Seattle, do you think chicken soup is testing you?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Chicken soup. Well, because from just knowing a little bit from his history, you know, like I said, his last girlfriend was, she tried to drive a car off a cliff while they were both in it. So that's pretty powerful, crazy. So
I know there's rumor maybe, out there that men like exciting, crazy women.
Mm-hmm. So maybe he was trying to get me to completely, you know, lose it so that I can have enough crazy.
How would he have done that? She came up to you when you were talking to him. What did he do to attract her into that?
Well, it was a party at his house, that one. So he invited them, and he knew that I'm not a big... Mm-hmm. So we were at several kind of get-togethers. One was his house, and then a few other ones were, you know, we're just all out and in a bar. And the behavior from them is always the same.
So he invited her to his home when you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew you were not comfortable with her.
That was before I, like, actually had this conversation with him that, look, you know, you can hang out with whoever you like, but I'm uncomfortable.
What I'm hearing is that you and the girl showed him that you didn't get along.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, from that time on, I would hope you would take care of yourself like a lady when she's there chasing him or doing whatever, you see, as a way to not demonstrate emotional behavior.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much. Will do.
I think the old phrase, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Okay. Yeah, that's very fitting here.
Okay.
Thanks, caller.
Thank you. Of course. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Welcome.
Well, Seattle is moving through her pain addiction. I think that she's made a lot of leaps and bounds with your reading your work and following along with your program.
Yeah, that the concept of stroking people that have triggered you into anger or fear is an alien concept, you see? But it's a winner because it gives people strokes, which they need, and often helps them quiet down their fear and their guilt so that they can negotiate.
Hello?
Oh, hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Oh, hi. Hello. Wonderful. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
What?
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to make sure you can hear me okay.
Yes.
I hear you just fine.
Okay, so I just had a question. My fiance is expanding his business right now, and he's putting it, I know, it's wonderful, very stressful. He's also doing it with his dad, which I know comes with a lot of additional stress. And we're 4 months away from the wedding, and he's working long hours to pay for the wedding, so we don't have to put it on a credit card. And he's been very tired and withdrawn and distracted, and I'm trying my best to not be needy and pull on him. And I'm just wondering, as a feminine woman, what do I do? Because there's times like where it'll be 3, 4, 5 days, and I just feel like we haven't really connected, but I don't want to bother him because he's working like 14-hour days.
I think what you do is you be passive, patient, and vulnerable to his leadership and stroke him for his hard work and ask him, is there anything I can do to help you do better?
Okay, that's what I've been doing, and I did have a hiccup.
What was your hiccup?
It was Saturday night, and we didn't have the kids, and I was so excited to have a night where we make love and connect, and we were laying there in bed, and he fell asleep.
You want to know something?
What?
I think that's a human thing.
Oh. Which part? My part or his part?
What?
Oh, what is a human thing? My part of wanting it or his
human
part of falling
thing.
Asleep?
It's human that you want to make love, but it is disrespectful for you to be angry with him for falling asleep.
That's what I thought, because I startled him because I got out of bed, and he's very connected to me. So he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Oh, I just thought we were going to have an evening." And he got so upset at me, and I felt awful.
I know that, dear. I know that. It would have been nicer if you said, "I'm just going to the bathroom."
Oh gosh, I know. Well, where I get confused is this idea that you're supposed to share, how you're feeling. Well, I guess in that moment, I'm feeling like I want to connect. I haven't seen you all week. We haven't spent time together. We haven't made love in a few days.
Honey,
so
did you happen to read my book, Getting to I Do?
I did, but I probably should read it again.
Yeah, because in there is a section that says the following. Do not ask for more, better, or different love, affection, time together, or sex.
And could you expand on that? So I love that part, and I try to follow it. But when you have that deep craving for it, what are you supposed to do as a woman with it? You like for more time or affection?
Get your right hand up in the air, dear.
Okay.
I promise. To respect the man I love.
To respect the man I love.
Even when? I think I'm smarter. And could do it better. Furthermore. I promise. To keep my yang mouth shut. Unless I have to call the police. A doctor? Or a lawyer. First. See, what you were doing was wanting. Want is a four-letter word. And I want you to understand, we women get what we want by knowing what we don't want.
Okay.
Now, if you don't want to let a man fall asleep, that you acknowledge his working hard, you are disrespecting him.
And also, he's working hard to pay for your wedding.
I know I messed up. I know. And as soon as I realized I messed up, I backtracked as quickly as I can. And I don't mess up very often.
Did you make an amends to him?
Oh, yes.
I did. I said,
What did you say to him?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I just said, I'm sorry. I'm being irrational.
No. Listen to what I'm going to say. You don't apologize for a mistake.
Oh.
You make an amends. I feel
badly. What would that sound like? Oh, okay.
It would sound like, I feel badly that I disrespected you by making a smart remark when you asked why I got up. Well, I thought we made love, dummy.
Okay.
Do you see?
Yeah.
So remember, the more we respect the man we love, and the reason I say we've got to respect him is that you've had sex with him, which is your female version of getting married. He is paying money for the wedding, which is, marriages are not for men, they're for women and children.
Yes.
Men take on responsibility for the other people when they marry. We give up a lot of independence to be their co-pilots, to follow them unless they're immoral, unethical, or illegal. When we want them to do it our way, we are mothering them.
Okay.
And once we do that, we're disrespecting.
Okay, so I've got that down in every other area, but for some reason when it comes to kind of attention or affection,
well,
let me
ask, who's the head of your mom and dad's house?
My mom.
Well, there you got it. She showed you how to be a mother to a grown man. Grown men do not want mother. That's the Fisher King wound.
Okay.
A man must leave. He must leave the idea that women are on earth for his pleasure. He must cherish the women who respect him. Do you see?
Yes.
And therefore have sex with them, which is our version of marriage. Theirs is signing contracts.
Okay.
Harvard did the study. Men like to marry for sensual and sexual stability. 2/3 of the time. Women like to marry for status and financial stability. 2/3 of the time.
Okay.
1/3 of men are gigolo little boys who want mommy to take care of them. 1/3 of women want sex and sensuous. That's where you were at. They're called cougars.
Ah. Okay.
Got it?
Got it. Okay, can I ask one more small question?
Why not?
It's kind of related. So around the house, there's a lot of kind of fix-its that I need done, and I ask him. He doesn't have any time, though. I mean, just realistically, there's no time for him right now to do it. So what do I ask him once, remind him one more time, and then hire someone? I don't want to be disrespectful, but I kind of need some things fixed.
On your refrigerator or somewhere, put a things to do and write down the things to do.
Okay.
Like a honeydew list?
It is
a honeydew list. That's right, a honeydew list. So that he sees what you need without hearing your voice even speak it.
Okay.
And then he'll say, you know, and you can put it like, yes, no. I need the back porch fence, blah, 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 by Sunday. And then yes or no. And make him feel good about telling his truth that he does or doesn't have time. If he doesn't have time, you get somebody else to do it.
Well, like the dryer, you can smell a little gas coming out of it, and I've asked him 3 times just because it's close to my son's bedroom and it smells when I go in there, and he
darling,
just hasn't
that
done
is
it.
Almost, that's a moral thing. That's called leave a note. The dryer is draining. What was it draining?
Gas.
It's gas. Like,
okay,
you can smell.
The dryer is draining gas. I've called fix it, Joe's. You know, that's a moral, ethical, legal issue.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure what state you live in or who your gas supplier is, but actually, in all truth, if you smell gas and you call the gas company, like in Los Angeles, if you call the gas company, they'll come out immediately and fix it. That's just a safety issue. It kind of goes beyond like fixing the back fence or, you
right.
know, oiling the locks. So I think you get a pass on that one. You definitely need to be proactive with that.
You keep saying, it's not a big deal.
If it's immoral, unethical, or illegal, that's dangerous.
Okay, so that one I can. The other little other fix it ones. So okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank
well,
you. So then, thank
all
you.
Right, thank you. Bye.
Bye. So, Dr. Allen, you're talking about making a list with a yes or a no. Could you also put like a little line there that says, you know, like, if you don't have the time, who should I call? Or
please state your name after
yes,
the tone.
All of the above. Everything you're saying is appropriate.
Okay.
But if it's immoral, unethical, or illegal, we take action, period.
Right, definitely. So, yeah. I already get that with respect to that. That makes sense. And then if he gets an option of whether or not he has time, and we don't always have time, especially since in this particular case, this man's working overtime to pay for the wedding. He may not have time to do those little things, and maybe
that's right.
he doesn't want to.
Therefore, in your request list, I need this done by this date.
Okay, so how do we make it? How do we make it okay, or not sound like a harpy, that he doesn't have to necessarily do it? But also defer to him as to who to contact or how to go about the procedure.
Just like you said a minute ago, because he gets to say yes or no.
Perfect.
If he says no, that's permission to get somebody else to do it.
Perfect. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi there. Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
It's been a while since I called in. I've been in a relationship with a man now for going on about 8 months. And
that's nice.
Yes. And your techniques are working quite nicely.
Good.
Yes, we're talking about marriage and children and wonderful things. And I feel good about him, but there was one episode that actually listening in on this show reminded me of and made me want to call and clarify and ask.
All right.
It was a similar situation where he and I went to a party, and he knew the people. I didn't know anybody there. And there was a woman there who was quite attractive, and she came right up to him, the moment we walked in, and kind of reintroduced herself, and he introduced me, but he didn't call me his girlfriend. And then,
girlfriend at the time?
Yes, we had negotiated exclusivity and
all right.
Yes, all of these things.
Okay, so first of all, you don't say anything in front of her.
No, I didn't.
And then when you're alone and he's sober and so are you, you say, I want to tell you something that may be painful that happened at the party the other night. Is it convenient now or when would it be to hear me?
Yeah, we now, actually worked that part out. But there's another part to this.
All right, what is
the part? That part out.
What?
So later, just a bit later, I went into the restroom, and when I came back out, he and she were in the kitchen talking alone, and everyone else had gone out to the patio to watch the sunset because it was a beautiful
view. What you're doing is What you're doing is putting more mud on the picture. It's still the same okay. picture. So I'm going to go back to my tool.
Okay.
Yeah, it's convenient now. What is it? You have every right to have women as friends, truly. However, I was very, very uncomfortable at the party, not feeling known by many people, and especially the intimate communication that I got to watch between you and that nice, pretty lady. And I just want you to know that I did not feel cherished. You did not introduce me as your girlfriend. So am I not your girlfriend?
Well, we had many discussions about this in which I did say similar things.
What did he say?
Well, I actually wasn't even going to bring up the situation again.
You have to bring up the situation. He brought it up because he felt guilty.
Yes. He brought it
okay.
up.
Okay. What did he say? Did he say, I made a mistake when I didn't introduce you, or what did he say?
No, he accused me of running away from the situation instead of standing by him and asserting my position as his girlfriend. Because when I saw them talking in the kitchen, I stood by him for a moment and I waited for him to acknowledge me, grab my hand, do something, and he didn't. And I thought, well, I don't really want to talk to this person. I'm going to go watch the sunset on the patio. And I went,
you know what?
And
10 Good.
Minutes later,
Good.
They were still in there talking.
I understand. Now, he said, I want you to fight with women in front of me, and I
yeah.
don't sense that that's your style.
No.
So don't. Just turn around when he does something. Like when he didn't introduce you, excuse yourself, you know, excuse and go back to the bathroom. The bathroom is a mm-hmm. safe room. It's got a lock mm-hmm. on the door, you know, it's got water. So... Mm-hmm. Anyway, no, I don't want men to mold women into fighting ladies who fight in front of him for him.
Right.
So, but I want you to bring up the painful situation later respectfully.
Yeah, I did. Did he get it? I don't believe he's gotten it yet, because every time it comes up, he still claims that I ran away and that I was in the wrong for doing that. He still has not apologized to me for it or acknowledged that that would be painful to me. He did agree and has introduced me as his girlfriend in future.
Oh, that's what I wanted to hear. You have
yeah.
just made my night. Because
yeah.
if he... See, I don't want men to have to apologize for making a mistake. Remember? Apologize?
Yeah.
No. We make an amends.
Right.
If he
okay.
converted his behavior and said, my girlfriend... He has
yeah.
washed the slate clean.
Okay.
Do not require, I'm sorry. I'm sorry means I knew it was bad and I did it anyway. Most people make mistakes, especially in communication. They don't
yeah.
mean to, but they've got a habit. Remember, beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware
right.
of your words, they become habits. He has
mm-hmm.
a habit of being single. Beware of
yeah.
your habits. They become your character. Beware
mm-hmm.
of your character. It becomes your destiny at the bank, doctor's office, and in every relationship, especially the ones with love and sex. So this
yeah.
man has wiped the sleep clean in front of my eyes because he
okay.
changed his behavior.
Okay.
And I do not want people to apologize for mistakes. That's how we teach kids not to be creative. Don't take a risk. Okay. If you can't do it perfect, remember the five drivers from a bad church or a bad family or a bad culture is you've got to be perfect. You've got to try harder. You've got to hurry up. You have to please other people first, and you have to be strong enough not to need anybody. Ugh.
Yeah.
Where if you're raised in a good church, a good country, a good ethnic group, a good religion, you will be raised to be as excellent as your limits can allow you to be. You are raised to work easy. You are raised to know what's enough. You are raised to do it for you, for them, and you are open to learning.
Mm-hmm.
Those are called allowers. To thine own self be true, thou canst not then be false to any man. For as night comes, night follows day, you are known by the way you communicate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Yes, thank you for clarifying. He
cleaned up his act.
He did, yeah.
Yep.
Took a
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Allen. Have a beautiful night.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you, caller. So, Dr. Allen, sometimes people get confused with making amends and apologizing.
Oh, that's a big one. You know what else is really bad?
What's that?
Raising kids to be polite. May I? Would it be all right? Would you mind? Would you like? Could we? Let's. No, no, no. I want. I don't want. You know, if you've really been raised well, you go through your first year wanting, you go through your second year, terrible twos, not wanting, and you go through your third year, which Freud thinks we were fully baked by then. We are either intimidators with fear, seducers with guilt, or we're negotiators who know that we all have a right to want and not want. And I like men for wanting because they're built for it neurobiologically and hormonally. And
right.
I like women to know what they don't want because their bodies are built and their hormones are built to help them feel good. Women have to feel good to do good. Men have to do good to feel good.
Now, let me ask you this, Dr. Allen, because you were born and raised in the Midwest.
Absolutely.
And, there's a, you know, like a country song. What does the guy say? We say yes and we say ma'am. And if you don't like that, we don't give a damn. So with respect to the fact that you were born in the Midwest, I was born in the Midwest. We were raised with a certain ideals and values, which are my grandmother would call you better mind your manners. So she said, you know, please and thank you and things of that nature. So how would you work with a child when you're raising them to be effective as an adult with wants and don't wants?
Watch what it sounds like. Mom, can I go out? No, that's begging.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, I want to go out. Is it okay? Daddy, I don't want to do that. That's scary. When you raise kids to say what they want and what they don't want, they're going against your training program, but it's because they're different than you are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Yes.
You've got to negotiate with people. You've got to make them right for wanting, right for not wanting, and then tell them what it's going to cost them to do it.
Gotcha. Wonderful. Okay, Dr. Allen, we are running out of time rapidly. So I want to make everybody aware that Dr. Allen does private sessions. So if you're not in our area and you can't come to one of our classes in Los Angeles or Orange County, I want to remind you that Dr. Allen does private appointments. She does them by phone and she does them in person. And you can contact info at drpatallen.com regarding those sessions, or you can call 949-723-0338 to get information on appointments and private sessions. Further, don't forget, we've got classes coming up. Space is very limited in Orange County. So you're going to want to go to www.wantistore.com. Sign up for our newsletter, www.drpatallen.com. Dr. Allen, what have you got to say before we go?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Thank you, everybody. We love you. We'll be back next week.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.